FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz, and it's time for another Triple Lutz Report. This is episode 407. The date is October 7th, 2016, and I am speaking to you from an undisclosed location on the west coast of Florida. I fled there from my home in northern Palm Beach County, Florida, not because I was afraid of the storm enveloping me and my house, but because due to the severity of the storm, I was expecting to lose power and to lose my internet connection and therefore not be able to bring you the show. And as they say in Hollywood, the show must go on. So I want to convey to you some of my impressions, some of what I encountered while leading up to my escape from Palm Beach County. It was really quite amazing. You know, we talk about global economic collapse, chaos, what's going to happen one day when perhaps the dollar or the economic system fails. And we watch what's happening in Venezuela, where they're killing dogs, they're robbing delivery trucks on their way to the supermarket. It's shocking to see. And what I saw taking place in Palm Beach County wasn't to that extreme, because look, everybody there knew that the county might get hit by a major hurricane. The state might get hit by a major hurricane. At worst, it was going to shut the place down for 4 or 5 days, a week, but that things would start functioning again. However, what about if this was the time when the economic system decided to basically implode, if that's possible? What if this was the big one? That's what ran through my mind. So let me tell you some of the things I saw. I went out Tuesday night. I wanted to fill my car up with gas. And every gas station on two major roads that I went to, except for two of them, was sold out. The tanks were roped off and you couldn't buy gasoline. There were only two gas stations open. One of them was a Shell station around the corner from me, and there were dozens of vehicles lined up literally around the block. Said, I'm not going there. The other one was another Shell station, interestingly enough, and that station, all of their regular gasoline was sold out. The pumps were shut down. However, they sold a special blend of gasoline that didn't contain ethanol, and it was 90 octane. So I know a little something about cars, little something about gasoline, little something about the petroleum business. So I said, well, ethanol, I'd rather no gasoline had ethanol in it. Ethanol is a scam. Ethanol causes your engine to run worse, get lower gas mileage, and just really is not that good for your car. But the average American sees no ethanol, 90 octane. Nobody's at these tanks filling up. Now, it just so happens that each gallon of gas was $3.50 a gallon. So it was a dollar a gallon higher than premium gas. But I said, hey, I need 10, 13 gallons of this. It's a one-shot deal. I don't care. I don't want to wait online. There was no line there. The only line was this guy had his truck parked in front of the pump, and he was manually filling up 5-gallon gas cans, probably for his generator. And I said, gee, well, that's interesting. So I waited 10, 15 minutes for him to do his thing. I didn't have to be anywhere. I didn't really care. So he said, well, another guy came by and he read the owner's manual of his car. And it said that if you didn't use ethanol-aided gasoline, it voided your warranty, which was ridiculous. I mean, this is stupidity. A lot of older cars, especially cars from the 60s, muscle cars, you don't really want to use gasoline with ethanol all in it. But there's nothing wrong with that gas for a new car. You don't want to use E85, but E15 or whatever isn't going to hurt a new car. E0, effectively. So I filled it up. The car runs perfectly. Actually, the car, I'm a little cognizant of these things, went, I'd say, 2-3% faster than it did otherwise. So I filled it up, but ignorance. And it just shows that people don't understand how their car works. They don't understand these basic things. But what was interesting, while people weren't lined up for gas at this station, they were lined up to fill up their propane tanks. Just so happens I have a gas grill, and I don't grill as much as I do, or I did a while back, not so much in the summer because it's so hot outside. So I have nearly a full tank of propane just in case the electric doesn't work. So I could boil water on there. I have some steaks in the freezer, whatever. I've got some food in the freezer. I've got my emergency preparedness food. The water is probably still going to work because the pumps for the water system, they've got backup generators. Another thing is cell phones. Cell phone towers, as long as they don't get knocked down, in Florida, they're mandatory gas-powered generators. For 4 days, they keep the cell phone towers online. So we know that we're probably going to have cell phone communications, regardless what happens. As long as we don't get 200-mile-an-hour winds, those towers are pretty much designed to withstand 180 mile an hour winds. Supermarkets cleaned out. The supermarkets looked like they were in Venezuela. So you learn that, hey, I could probably get by for a week, 2 weeks in my house because I don't have a lot of water. I need empty jugs. Okay, that's one thing I learned real quick there. I used to keep 4 or 5 gallons of water, but for some reason I got out of that habit. I got complacent. So I'm just telling you this because I'm big on planning, but I realized so many deficiencies in my plan, and you can never be too up on your plan. You got to go back and revisit your plan and just be ready. And then it is the thing, like, where do you go? Right now, the western part of Florida is up and running, but if it enveloped the entire state, I don't know what I would have done. I guess I would have just stayed there and white-knuckled it out, hope that that the systems would have come back online. Another thing is the ATM system, the credit card system, easily could have been knocked offline as well. Well, one thing the state of Florida mandated gas stations do is have backup generators. So if they had gasoline, you'd be able to get gasoline, but still, there was a panic. The other thing is there's 10 million people in the state of Florida, newcomers since the last hurricane, who don't even know what to do, are clueless, probably just like me. I mean, I wasn't clueless because I've studied this stuff. But all of these things, I realized, hey, as even though I study this stuff and I read about it and all that, living through it is completely different. I'm going back. I'm going to redo my plan. Another thing, I didn't have hurricane shutters for my house. I bought this house from somebody. House was built in 93. She never had any hurricane shutters. Granted, the way the house is situated, it's less likely to be hit by hurricane force winds, but you need hurricane shutters, and I'm contemplating the purchase of hurricane resistant impact glass. Because it's not that much money now. A lot of different companies make it, and it obviates the need for hurricane preparedness, like putting up these shutters, which are a major pain. Luckily, I have a great handyman, Jorge Gomez. Jorge was there for me, got him up the last minute. I was lucky. One of my friends had installed hurricane impact resistant glass, so he had his shutters left and he just gave them to me. So hats off to Lou Stallman, you really saved my butt on this one. So I was deficient in so many ways. The only thing that I was better on was that I had gas in my car. I was able to get it. I had emergency preparedness food. I have certain other, shall we say, survival tools in place, so I wasn't getting messed up in that regard. But as much as you think about these things and you think you're mentally prepared, the actual preparation itself, I really was not prepared. One thing I want to say, I just interviewed our good friend Ned Schmidt, and he's got a real good explanation as to why gold got slammed. And, you know, the idea that the Federal Reserve is going to raise rates, he really kind of debunks that issue. He explains that he calls it the Battle of Britain Part 2, because Britain's moving at a very rapid pace to disentangle itself from the EU. And that's probably a good thing for them and probably a good thing for the US as well. Election, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the debates. The first one, when arguably Trump got beaten on one level, but on another level, he didn't. He got beaten on the level of being a wonk, because he's no wonk. He's a big picture guy. He's a CEO. My late wife always used to say when there was a job she didn't want to do, there's people for that. Well, let me tell you, Trump is a guy who has people for that. When he wants a budget drawn up, or he wants a memo written, or a plan drawn up, do you think Donald Trump does it himself? No. He pushes a button, he sends out a text, he sends out a tweet, and somebody comes to his office and he says, do this, do that. He's got a staff for doing that. He doesn't need to weigh himself down in this. Yes, he could be a better debater, I will grant you that. But the one thing that stuck in my mind about that debate is, Hillary, you've been working on this stuff for 30 years and all of a sudden you've got ideas on how to fix it? What's wrong with you? I mean, that to me summed up the debate. And then the Mike Pence, candy cane, Tim Kaine debate was just pathetic. I knew Kaine would not be able to hold his own against Pence. Pence is a former radio talk show host like yours truly, also a seasoned congressman and governor. Well, Kaine was a senator and a governor too, but he just didn't have the skills, the gravitas, and the confidence of a Tom Pence. I've watched Mike Pence for many, many years. And Pence, articulate, calm, well-spoken, in command. And, you know, don't send a boy to do a man's job. It makes you wonder, why did Hillary pick Kaine to do this? Makes absolutely no sense. And by the way, I always love to bust chops on Comrade de Blasio. Well, one thing they did recently, the New York taxicab drivers are no longer required to speak English. So all the more reason to use Uber. I mean, they've eliminated that requirement. And, you know, so much for multiculturalism. It's absurd, but this was a while ago in August. There's 13,600 taxis in New York, 40,000 drivers, of whom at last count, 82% were born outside the U.S. And if you leap into a cab, fair chance the driver's first language could be Urdu, Sylheti, I have no idea what that is, or Spanish. And would you believe that cab drivers in New York come from an estimated 167 countries? Largest proportion, 24%, are from Bangladesh. And unlike their counterparts in London, New York drivers are not expected to go through a test as rigorous as what they call in London the knowledge, which requires the ability to memorize thousands of streets within a 6-mile radius of Charing Cross, which is a major location in London. I've been there before. And last year, even the rudimentary ability to navigate around New York was watered down, with the 80-question test being cut down to only 10. And many taxi drivers in New York, where the heart of the city is built, that means Manhattan, on a simple numerical grid, use portable satellite navigation devices. I mean, I remember the one time where I'm in a taxi and another taxi pulls up and says, can you tell me where the Empire State Building is? And the guy says, roll down your window. You see that building right there? That's it. I mean, that's what we're dealing with here in New York. So they've just talk about dumbing down. They've even dumbed down the taxi exam. I mean, what is it with it? So there was something a while back that I wanted to share with you from this publication called the Ironton Tribune. And the headline, which is what really caught me, is hold yourself accountable. And, you know, it's really what it's about. Whatever you're doing in life, hold yourself accountable. Okay. Even if you find yourself in a situation that turns out badly, that really isn't your fault, you're still accountable for it. I've always taken responsibility in everything in my life, relationships, businesses, they go bust, you get sued, whatever. I take responsibility for it. I think it's a key requirement to being successful in life and to being happy in life. So this IrontonTribune.com, IrontonTribune.com, take a look at it. It says the moral of the story was that we cannot and should not widen the plate, regardless of what we are doing, if we want to achieve the goals we set. Widening the plate so you can hit a goal doesn't help that person be accountable for reaching a standard, meaning widening like the catcher's plate in a game. And, you know, unfortunately, our society is all about lowering the goalposts to help people meet or achieve goals that lose their meaning because they've been watered down. So I feel like that's kind of the story of my life. You can't be willing to settle, and you can't be willing to settle for less. It's just so important. And what is this deal with these clowns? I think this is a scam. I don't believe it's really happening. Supposedly, these clowns are like harassing kids, people, but they went at the, Penn State University. Dozens of students sparked mass panic as they descended on a university campus to hunt clowns. And rumors spread online that the bizarre, creepy clown phenomena sweeping the U.S. hit that place. Hundreds of rioting students ran through the streets chanting as they hunted the circus characters. Now, I've always found clowns to be creepy. I don't really like them. If there's any of you out there who are clowns, write me at kl@carrielutz.com. Explain to me what it is about clowns that I'm missing here. They were armed with tennis rackets, lacrosse sticks, baseball bats, hockey sticks, searching for these clowns. I don't think they found them all. It's pandemonium in Pennsylvania. And, you know, British school children are being terrorized by cruel pranksters dressing up as clowns. Police are trying to identify them. They did find a few people. There's a picture here of somebody in Northumbria, a cop arresting a clown. I don't know. I just don't believe this thing. I think it's a scam. But if you have information about a clown harassing kids or whatever, please call the police immediately. And hey, we're putting out shows no matter what. So stay tuned. This has been another Triple Lutz Report. This is Kerry Lutz signing out.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.